Soldier Field, 24-17. Bears trying to get their 10th win. Here's the boot up in the air. Going up for it. Allen Robinson, he's got it!
I want to see the Bears give him an opportunity to prove that he can do that.
He's got the ball at the 43-yard line.
When all the signs in the world were there.
I think that'll be a fade-to-black moment with Allen Robinson taking it out of the air.
That's what you're really hoping for, that they really contribute to the team each year and that you build a great base and foundation.
And these loyal fans have been rewarded for their loyalty.
It was awesome. We picked up right where we left off. It was fantastic.
And they have a Bears team to be proud of right now. Takes the snap, takes a knee, they head to the field. The Bears have won it!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of 34 to Glory. I'm your host, Tyler Flesh, joined by my father and co-host, Brian Flesh.
Hey there, Bear fans.
Well, literally, as soon as we got done doing the last podcast, we published it, we put it up, and right before, it broke the news that Montez Sweat has signed a 4-year, $98 million deal.
Yeah, that was huge, and I'll admit it, I'll eat some crow. I got it wrong. I wasn't real sure that they would sign him.
I knew they would sign him. Look, everyone ran with that narrative of what he said, and then he was like, I don't even have a house yet. But Ryan Poles said, hey, we're working on the deal. Here's the thing. His agent told him to play it like that, and he did. You knew it was going to happen.
It was probably a good way to play it.
He had a career high last game with pressures on the quarterback, or a season high. Sorry, not a career high, a season high. He's definitely eager, hungry. I love the number 98. I'm still going to stand by what we said, though, man. As far as where does he fit, why is he here, that still baffles me. He's a great player. There, again, no knock on him. A little confusing. Maybe Poles is trying to redeem himself. I think, too, Dad, we keep bringing up a lot of negative stuff about Ryan Poles, and I think we should. You know, rightfully said. I don't think we can forget about, when it comes down to Ryan Poles, about... Sorry, this pop filter is so close, I can hear it popping, so I got to redo this. What I was going to say is that we forget that he did do some really good moves, but, yeah. Like, I'm not trying to discredit what we've said already. We can't forget, like, the Claypool one, horrible. But he did, you know, trade a lot, got us DJ Moore, got us a first-round pick. He did all that. We'll talk about that game coming up later in the episode. But, you know, he has done some good, but he's also done a lot of bad. And I think, like, people are like, hey, don't forget about all the good. And it's like, he has done a lot of good, but when my thing is, when you do so much bad, it is like just a shadow over all the good moves you've done. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. The good moves are few, and they're very, very good. I mean, the DJ Moore move was outstanding. So, you know, you want to give a guy a pass on something like that in terms of, okay, well, you know, that's a really great move. We went into the year needing so much on the defensive line, a defensive rusher. Everybody knew it. We didn't address it. The offensive line has just been a patchwork, a quilt work this year because, again, we didn't have enough in reserve. We didn't have enough, right. You know, first-line players. I mean, so you know... That's the part I have a hard time giving him a pass on.
He did. Poles did get
Darnell.
Darnell Wright.
Yeah, who's and been the I star. Love and I love that. And I love that pick. I just think, and maybe it's just me, Ty, but there were so many holes. Maybe it's just me thinking, you know what? There are so many holes to fill. We didn't even come close.
Yeah, I see that. But it's also like, hey, look at the coaching staff we have. Again, it just keeps going back to that. The problems, the integrity that the staff has, the fact that people are getting fired and HR violations. And it's just like, it's a madhouse. And the fact that they're just trying to hide from it is just, baffling.
Speaking of that, let's take a look at the Las Vegas Raiders that just got rid of Josh McDaniels, and they just had a
I'm sorry to interrupt. Did you hear the Jay Glazer report about this?
Which one?
About
so go ahead.
The
go
ahead. Oh my gosh, why am I blanking? Pierce.
No,
Antonio Pierce, right?
That's
who took over a former Giants player.
Right, right. No, I did not hear it. What?
Okay. This is great. So, McDaniels knew he was losing the locker room. There was a players-only meeting, which he overheard in quotations, and they were bad-mouthing him. They were like, this system's stupid. This sucks. He's not a player's coach. So he tells Pierce, hey, man, you're a good, player's coach. Why don't you go in there and you talk about, like, you know, rally the troops, right? So he goes in there and he rallies them. He said, we have to believe in this system. He talked about when he... This is where it gets good. This is where it gets comical. Comical. Comical? Whatever. Comical. He literally says... Pierce starts just talking about his time with the Giants and how they were the underdogs. And you know where this is going, right?
I think he's going to mention the Patriots
He starts talking about the Patriots and how everyone doubted them. And they came back, blah, blah, blah. And it rallied the troops. Right?
Uh-huh.
Afterwards, McDaniels pulls him aside and says, listen to how petty this is. Hey, don't ever bring that up again. And he's being dead serious. And this is what led to his firing. Suppose from Jay Glazer. Now, I'm paraphrasing. You'll have to go look up the whole story. But saying that basically he was so petty, he said, hey, don't talk about the Patriots. We're not going to talk about that. And I'm like, dude, you're not a Patriot anymore. Who cares? You lost.
Well, I just think it's really interesting to take a look at same players, right? They didn't change. They didn't change anybody. They put their rookie in as a quarterback, right? The rookie from Purdue. But everyone else, pretty much in the same position, they went out and they stomped. They stomped them 30-6. Does that say anything to you about taking the risk and getting rid of people? Now, I'm not saying that Eberflub has lost the locker room like Josh McDaniels. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that.
Oh, it's pretty close.
But I tell you what, firing the GM, firing Josh McDaniels, didn't they fire pretty much the offensive coordinator also? I mean, getting pretty much.
When Mark Davis walked out of the tunnel, people were yelling, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the players.
Well, but like also like it wasn't a lot of people yelling it, but it picked up on some people. And I'm sitting here going, guys, he also hired those people.
Yeah, like, I know.
I guess you got to applaud the small victories.
Well, okay. Sometimes the NFL is like a math problem, okay? Sometimes if you're in administration, just like a math problem, the sooner you know you've made a mistake and turned around, the better off you are, right? I mean, you can't keep working a bad math problem the bad way and expect things to get better. The best thing you can do is simply admit you've made an error, turn around, and start from the beginning.
Yeah, I think, though, to get back to it in all, you know, you made the trade. We needed to see a long-term deal get signed. Hopefully he's worth it. I think he's consistent. He might have superstar potential. I think he might. I don't know yet. I'm not for certain. Yep. But I think you're definitely going to get consistency. But he also, my only concern is with that much money, there's still the question of, is he the guy? When we got Julius Peppers, it was, oh, this dude is the guy.
Yeah.
Like this, I mean, when he came from Carolina and he just wrecked shop, and then we fucked up and sent him to the Packers when he had at least 3 more years in him.
That was
that one still hurts.
Yeah, that was a dumbass move.
And they played him at linebacker, and he's like, oh, I can adjust to anything, which you should believe. I don't think Julius Peppers gets talked about enough as being just a freak of an athlete. Like, he stopped Michael Vick at Soldier Field. Oh, yeah. Like, just shut him down.
Well, he single-handedly was able to wreck games. And there's very... I mean, Donald can wreck games. But very few people that can actually... in their prime, and he even wasn't in his prime at that point.
Aaron Donald can wreck games, but it's either to double team on the inside. Like, they couldn't really, and also, I mean, not to reminisce too much, but, you know, having Erlacher and Briggs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
that didn't hurt. No. Right. Of course not.
Right. It made their jobs a lot easier. But, you know, getting back to it, like I said, I think it's a good... You got to do it. You got to get a long-term deal done. You cannot waste another second-round pick again. The long-term deal is signed. This guy's actually proven. Claypool was more hope, I believe. And I'm not going to lie. I fell for the hope a little bit. I fell for the hope.
I did,
with
too.
With Claypool.
I was
just excited.
I did, too. I thought maybe he's the guy. And, you know, how many times have we done that in Chicago? Many, many.
Yeah, but we usually get defensive positions right. I still think, look, I keep coming back to it. We got the better deal than San Fran. But San Fran didn't get a bad deal. Look, when it comes down to Chase Young, he has one move. He's been told he's had one move. He's not developing. He's not the all-star he was at Ohio State. People have film on him, and that film, and they're getting cold stopped. The only thing I think is two things. When he walks into that locker room in San Francisco, he's not top dog anymore. He can't get cocky because, I mean, they got beasts. They got what a lot of NFL players call the best player in the game in Trent Williams. So he'll have to go up against him. And two, you got Bosa on the other side. So it to me right now, and I'm this plays into the Bears, but I'm saying... if Chase Young can't get it done here, then Chase Young is a complete bust.
Absolutely. And you know, part of what the rumor was about Chase Young was, yes, he was kind of a one-move kind of guy, but the other part of it, too, was that he was not disciplined. That they were asking him to, you know, do his job, stay in his lane, and he would attempt to do more than his job, get out of his lane. And that made problems for a lot of...
Shanahan don't like that.
Yeah,
Chris Sims.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up.
Because that's
not going to fly.
Chris Sims knows Shanahan. I've listened to Chris Sims talk about stuff, and he's like, he doesn't want a flashy quarterback. And, you know, in my opinion, that's going to hurt them in the long run. But anyhow, let's go back. We're getting too far onto other teams. We might do that a little. I like kind of talking about the whole NFL at the end. But let's talk about... what happened? The Bears covered. That was the only good news. 5 turnovers. I watched the majority of the game. I was on the road, but I broke down, so I got to watch the majority of the game except the last drive, which I was filled in about.
Yeah, just so the audience knows, you didn't break down as in have a nervous breakdown over the Bears.
You had a breakdown in terms of your truck, right? My truck broke down.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Okay, I mean, people are listening to this. They know you're passionate. I just didn't want them to think that, you know, you went over the top because of the Saints.
Out of the hospital early.
Out of the hospital early.
No, it's... Yeah, the reason we... Luckily, we're doing this now. My schedule worked out, so this is going to come out on Tuesday night. And then the next one will come out on Friday because we'll do it right after the Panthers game, and we'll talk about that later. But, look... I think as far as Tyson Bagent goes, he's done enough to get a contract. I think he can play in this league.
Absolutely.
I don't think he is a starter. But again, I'm going to defer back to the coaching. I think what you're seeing is everyone kept talking about how fast he got the ball out. And I get that. But again, when push came to shove, he was holding the ball too long and Fields is holding the ball too long.
Yeah.
Okay, but hold on. So if both quarterbacks are holding the ball too wrong, what's the problem? It's not the route running. We know they can run routes. We must be telegraphing the shit out of our offense or something because no one's getting open. Now, Bajent did throw a few balls behind people and that were intercepted. But my whole thing is, at the end of the day, this kid has enough charisma and moxie to be at least a number two in this league. And the reason I say that, what quarterback dad do you expect to come in and win you games off the bench and right. not turn the ball over as a number two?
Let me say this. I don't know any other backup quarterback in the league that looked as good as he did for the first three quarters of the game. I mean, he looked good. He
had a few interceptions.
He had a few interceptions, but you know what? The other part of that I want to bring up is he was also throwing some people open. He had some beautiful, beautiful passes that were just absolutely right on the money. And, you know, here's the deal. He's a rook, man, and he's had, you know, one full game under his belt in the NFL prior to the Saints game. The Saints, they can play fairly good defense. You know what? I think the kid has enough. I really like the kid. You know, I'm not saying, you know, he's the end all to be all, but I think he's a type of developmental player, a type of person that you give him some more time and some more, a better system around him. And I think he's more than worth it.
I don't know if he'll be a starter. I don't know, but I think he's definitely solidified himself as a backup in this league.
Absolutely.
But as far as when it comes down to the simple fact of, you know, not you and me personally, but, you know, there was a lot of talk out there, man. There was a ton of talk about this guy could be the next guy. Look how fast he's getting the ball out, blah, blah, blah. Like, honestly, the reason I bring out getting the ball out fast is because that's all I've been hearing on the internet. You can definitely tell who the better player is. Fields is the better quarterback. That's not even up for debate. I mean, and that's no knock against Bajent. See, yeah, they're Bajent.
Secret Bajent.
Oh, I knew
secret
that was coming.
Bajent man.
All right. Well, we won't get sued for copyright. But anyhow, he is the better quarterback. And
by far.
I just don't like the predicament we're in. Here's how I also we'll get to the draft picks and stuff. Don't let me forget about Caleb Williams. I have a point on Caleb Williams I want to get to. Actually, we'll just do it now before I forget. Caleb Williams, I'm out on Caleb Williams. I can't do it anymore. He had a quote where he basically did a Ryan Day move. I don't know if you saw it. Basically, he said...
I didn't see it.
After the Utah game that he... he said... So let me get this straight. I'm paraphrasing. He said, I only had one game against Notre Dame in my whole career, and now everyone's holding that against me, blah, 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 blah. I lost against Utah tonight, but I was at 77% completion. So to me, I don't want him. I don't want nothing to do with him now. And also, hey, man, I know that, like, this is the new world, and men are supposed to be more open and in touch with their feelings. I get that, and I'm not against that, and I'm not knocking that. But what I am going to knock is you losing a game to Washington and jumping into the stands as your mom holds up, like, it looks like a playbook, so that no one can see how much you're bawling. He was crying, and his mom was holding him in the stands. I'm sorry, but I can't even, I'm out. Like, when I see that, I'm like, oh my God, like, what is this? Dude, I'm sorry, but you're an adult, you're making money, it's one game. My God, it looked like they lost a loved one. I'm not even kidding. I was looking at it, I was like, what is,
that's a little scary.
It's one game. The NFL's going to eat you alive, bud, especially when you're the number one pick. I don't know if you're aware, but when you're the number one pick, you don't start off winning games a lot.
No, and you're under a hot white spotlight, so you better develop some thick frickin' skin.
So back to Justin Fields, my whole thing is what I would do as a GM. I've been thinking about this a lot. If you don't like him and you don't think he's a guy, fine. He still deserves a shot with better coaching. My thing
go grab a coach. Sign Fields, do a fifth year, or whatever you need to do. Have Fields go up against whoever you draft. I know it's unorthodox, but we need unorthodox. Have a competition, because keep draft. I think you need to keep doing that. And I know I've said this before, but healthy competition, people. And like to sit here and say, oh, he's not the guy, and look what we've drafted around him. I get that. I'm fine with that. But I need to see a better coach, and I need to see a better result off the bench. Because Bajent came off the bench and did not look any better.
Right.
And he knows the system.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you just said for me is the key there. And that is, it's the coach is part of it. But the big thing that a coach does is he installs a system. And when a system consistently doesn't work again and again, regardless of who you plug in, guess what? It may not be the players.
Speaking of system, do you think we limit ourselves too? We have not talked about this. Do we limit ourselves by getting Montez Sweat and playing a 4-3 instead of a 3-4 when it comes down to drafting a defensive coordinator? Because you got to stay in a 4-3 now, right?
Right, right. And I don't know how you move to a 3-4 at this point with him.
I don't know either. That's why.
I think you do. I think it probably puts some limits. You basically have put your cards on the table in terms of kind of the defensive scheme. Now, granted, all teams don't all play zone, and they don't all play cover two or cover three, and
no,
everyone
but the,
doesn't.
But the but, base,
but
that's
the base is the issue, right? It does put a bit of a damper on that in terms of, well, maybe it's a good thing too, but it does kind of limit your options.
And then another thing too, we shit on the offense all the time, and rightfully so, but let's shit on a little bit here on the defense. Would you be surprised with the players that we have if we go out and we get a new defensive coordinator, new coach, if they just turn it around instantly?
No, I would not be surprised.
See, I would not either. Because no. we signed free agents, we signed Edmonds, and we've signed Sweat now, and you got Gordon out there, you got Eddie Jackson. I mean, you got the next one they need to sign is Jalen Johnson. But you have all this talent around the field, and you have Edwards, Edmonds, my whole thing is, and you're still getting shit on, like, when are we going to learn that the cover two sucks?
We could play. We've got players. I agree, Tyler. We've got players that could play football. They can't continue to play this cover two. I mean, watch what kind of depth we give the wide receivers.
Right, but to my point, the cover two was good back in its time. It's like every defense has its time. Could we run the 46 defense today? No.
No.
We would get shit on.
Well, the 46 required a shitload of pass rushers that were very, very
good.
But
it was basically like an all-out blitz.
Oh, absolutely. All the freaking time.
With today's game, you would get killed. But back then, it was revolutionized, the sport. What I'm saying is, the same thing can be held for the cover two. The cover two shell, the Tampa two that Lovey did a lot of, it had its place. You would not give up the big plays. You would get stingy in the red zone. You would have opportunities for interceptions. But now, as the game has evolved, especially if you watch Kansas City, because Travis Kelce, remember, used to be a quarterback. Everyone's like, so what does that do? Well, he can tell if they're in a zone just as easy as Mahomes. And if you watch, he always sits where he knows where it's going to be soft. He knows where the coverage is going to be soft, and he sits down. Mm-hmm. They don't even run. They're not even. They have a route, and then Mahomes goes, oh, I see what he sees. He's going to sit here. They're not even thinking. And you're going to get that. And you get that with, like, when there's good chemistry involved. What I'm saying in all this rant, it had its place. It's time to move on. Like, I don't know why we can't see this from a coach. I mean, the only Eberflus is the worst head coach in Bears history. He's supposed to be a defensive coordinator. He can't even get that straight at all. I mean, we're just in shambles.
Yeah, we are in shambles. And don't you think at this point in time it's extremely clear that we're what, 9 games into the season. So half the NFL season is over at this point in time in terms of regular games. They're not going to do anything.
All we have is regular games. Yeah, so well, we don't even need to add the playoffs for us.
But you know where I'm going with that. So halfway through, nothing's going to happen with this group. Ivar Flub is going to continue to be there. Everyone else is going to continue to be there for the next 9 games. And I just have given up all hope, right, that we're going to do something different and get rid of them. So as far as I'm concerned, you'd have to talk me into why would we change at this point in time? I mean, come on. We can really solidify that draft spot with losing all of the next games, right? And Everflub will help us do that.
Yeah, and I don't know. Do you have anything else on the game as far as it goes? Because, I mean, I didn't really, like, what are we, in my opinion, I don't know what more we're supposed to talk about.
No, I mean, Cole Kmet, I do want to mention Cole Kmet. You know, he was paid this year. Personally, I think it was a classic Cole Kmet game.
Mm-hmm.
About, if you've watched the Bears play, and since we've had Cole Kmet, out of the 18 games a year, there's a handful of games that he just goes freaking ballistic.
But
this was one of them.
Those handful of games always come when there's nothing to lose. Everything's already over. He's not a big guy, big tight end, not a big player like that. Again, in my opinion, Poles, another dumb signing.
So, yeah, I thought we way overpaid for Cole Kmet given his productivity, given what he did last year on the field, and given just the history. I mean, this is a guy out of 18 games that'll have 2 or 3 really big games. We saw it. You might want to hold your breath because you're not going to see this game again. You're not going to see Cole Kmet, 2 touchdowns, that kind of yardage ever again. Now, to his credit, that catch he made, first touchdown catch he made in the end zone, fantastic. Won't take anything away from Cole Kmet in terms of that. That was a beautiful, beautiful catch. I just had to bring that up because that was the thing that really stood out to me. Other than that, again, we were the classic vanilla offense on top of a vanilla defense. And Derek Carr was reading us like a book.
Yeah, but let's talk about that, too. A lot of people were like, hey, you know, the Bears did really good, minus the 5 takeaways. Look how they stuffed the Saints in the red zone, da-da-da-da-da. My thing is, no, let's not talk about that. The Saints all year have been pitiful in the red zone, and they have been killing themselves. That was not a case of the Bears locking down the Saints. It was a case of the Saints being the Saints.
Absolutely. I mean, my God, that was, if you guys follow the Saints, if anyone's following the Saints, that's been the storyline all year and why Saints fans were in an uproar because they would get into the red zone and kick a field goal or turn the ball over. I mean, that was happening over and over again. So I agree totally. We didn't kind of come up and, you know, oh my God, what a stand our Bears defense made. No, that's classic Saints. That's how they have been playing the ball this year. Other than that, I do have to mention one of, this drove me crazy. All right, I'm going to try to compose myself. Velus Jones, why the hell do we even have him on the field? Again, fumbled. Again, missed assignment. Again, that penalty that he had. I mean, I don't get it. Someone needs to explain why we continue to put him on the field.
Yeah,
please, please,
Velus.
Oh, Tyler, I was just, I mean, when he lost that ball, I was, that's classic. Just classic. I mean, I don't know
like,
how many.
I feel like, though, the coaching staff is a little Raider-esque in this. And what I mean by that is they just see his speed and they're like, we got to get him on the field.
Oh, I think it's very much that way. And it's like, yeah, so guess what? I mean, so he's fast, but he's got hands of concrete.
Whoa. He's fast. That's what I feel like the coaching staff saying. Yeah. Like, well, you give all the negatives, and they're like, whoa, 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 he's fast.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fast?
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, I was watching, I forget which game, but, you know, Chris Collinsworth, just, some of the stuff he says, I've come around on him a little bit, but he's still kind of out there. But, anyhow, he does make some good points here and there. And he often says, you know, when it comes down to it, and I've been saying this forever, you know, combine speed doesn't really translate to the NFL. Like, it doesn't matter how fast you are. It's about your cuts, your stops, and your acceleration. And, you know, and that's what kills me about that is, dude, didn't Jerry Rice allegedly run like a 4.6 or a 4.7, which is what, like, linemen are running today? And if you look at him, he did just fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it kills me that it's all about the speed. And, like, Tyreek Hill is just not all speed. That dude is one hell of a route runner.
Exactly. I mean, when people say, oh, no one can keep up with Cheetah. He's the fastest in the league. Well, you know, he is fast. But he's a lot more than fast.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's really an insult to him, just to say he's fast. He knows how to, he runs good, consistent routes. You can bank on his consistency with his route running.
Right.
He knows how to hit the spots. He also knows how to, when he sees a defensive look, he knows how to switch into something else.
Right. And everything you're saying is the exact opposite of Velus Jones.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I just, every time I see number 12 on the field, I think, okay, he's about to muff a punt. Oh, that's right. They don't really put him back on punts anymore because he's muffed so many of them. He's about to drop a pass. He's about to mess up a handoff. I mean, it is just unbelievable that he's out there. And it must be because, you know, I don't know. At one time, I thought he must have some dirt on somebody. Like, you know, because he can't be out there for his great skills. Just can't.
No, right. So, with that being said, I don't think there's anything else to really touch on.
I don't think so either.
It was a bad game.
Yeah.
It continues to be a bad game. Let's get to the next game. Next game seems to be, to me, a must win. We have to win this game.
Yeah.
There's a lot on the line for this game.
Yeah, there is.
There might never be a more bigger matchup in the NFL with two teams that cannot win. And what I mean by that is you're looking at a 1-7 versus a 2-7.
Mm-hmm.
This could be one of the biggest matchups. We need to win so that we can get the first pick in the NFL draft again.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's a Thursday night loser game. I mean, these are two loser teams. Let's just face it.
Yeah, but for us Bears fans, this is huge.
Oh, it is huge. I absolutely agree.
This is crazy how big this game has become.
It is. I'm expecting to see Fields back on the field. Everything I've been hearing is that he should be ready to play this Thursday.
When. Quick thing that I forgot to mention.
Oh, yes.
That can we go back to?
Let's rewind.
Rewind.
Okay, you're there.
What the hell is with Luke Getsy running our quarterbacks after they're hurt? Bajent was gimping on one leg, and the next play he calls is a designed quarterback run. What the fuck? He did that with Fields? Like, this is where I'm talking about. It's the coach. He's either not looking at the plays or anything. Also, before you answer that one, why is Justin Fields, this is a two-part question, why is Justin Fields our offensive coordinator? He's going to sit with Bajent. They're talking. They're going over stuff. And Getsy's nowhere to be found. He's just do-do-do-do-do. Like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
Either, you know what? Here's my thing. You either get your ass up into the sky booth so you can see the field better, or you work with your fucking quarterbacks. And, by the way, when they're hurt, you dumbass, don't fucking call a run play for them the very next play.
Oh, I'll tell you my philosophy on that. It's not a philosophy. It's my theory on that. I think he thinks he's being really tricky. I think he goes, oh, they know the quarterback's hurt. They know our quarterback's hurt. He's limping. They'll never suspect that we'll turn around and run on him. Seriously. I think that's kind of the intellect and the kind of gamesmanship he has. Oh, wait. He's hurt. They won't suspect a run this time. Oh, wow. Guess what? We ran and we didn't do shit because he's hurt. I think he actually believes that he can outmaneuver people with that move because he's done it with both of our quarterbacks and he's gotten zero productivity when he's done that. So, yeah, I think he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you're saying. All right, let's go back to the game. The Panthers game.
So we were talking about Fields. I'm saying I think Fields is starting. That's huge, right? The Carolina Panthers actually against wide receivers are actually a middle-of-the-road kind of defense. It's where they get killed is on the run. I mean, you can run against these Carolina Panthers. Can't always throw against them. But you can run, and I think we'll run on these guys.
Let's talk about the running game. Khalil Herbert has been activated off the IR.
Yep, as of this week.
I don't know how much he'll play, if any. That wasn't my point, though. I just wanted to throw that out there. You look at certain backs in the NFL, and certain backs need their touches to get stronger, and we're starting to see that trend dwindle. Even with Derrick Henry, I get it. But, I mean, if I'm Derrick Henry, I want the ball. Give him the ball. I see a lot of that in Foreman.
Yeah.
I see a lot of that in Devontae Foreman. I think that he just runs so angry. And, like, he came so close to breaking some in the Saints game. And it's like, why not leave him in? I know that Josh is doing good, too. Reynolds, right? And why am I blanking on his name?
Roshan.
What is... why am I saying Josh? What am I on?
I don't know. I don't know where you're going with that. But I think they... I mean, it was Dante Foreman and Roshan were the two backs. The fullback, Evans, got hurt. And so that just kind of left us with primarily those two guys.
Actually, Herbert's on IR still, they're reporting.
Really?
Yeah, I thought they lifted him. ESPN is saying status, it says IRR November 7th.
Okay. I thought I'd heard that he was taken off of IR, so I must have gotten it.
No, I thought he was too. This could be wrong. I'll look it up later.
But anyway, I totally agree with you about Foreman. He's the kind of guy that the more touches you give him, the better he gets. And he's a really decent runner. And it's, again, nothing against Roshan. But I think
I don't know why I said Josh. I think I was thinking of the Josh Dobbs situation.
You might have been.
Sorry.
Yeah, you might have been. But I would love to see. Here's what I think. I think he's played his way to more carries.
Hold on.
Yeah.
He did get 20 carries last game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, I think he's 20 to 25 a game kind of guy.
Yeah, I think he is too. And I think he's probably going to end up splitting it with Roshan again, but I think he gets the majority of carries. At least I'm hoping he gets the majority of carries. I think he's deserved that. I think actually when Khalil comes back, I think he should continue to split the carries with Khalil because I think he's that good.
See, I don't think so. And I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
I think you kind of go on a game-by-game basis and you Maybe you give Khalil a couple touches to weave him back in, but I'm a firm believer in you run a running back and you keep him in, because I think it would be hard. Now, I'm not a professional athlete. I played football when I was in high school and stuff, but I feel like it would be hard to go in and then sit out, and then go in and then sit out, and then sit out a couple plays, and then go in and then sit out. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you can't get momentum that way.
Yeah, now, it's hard to go with the flow. It's hard to get the flow of the game when you're doing that, right?
Right, and it's also like, it just feels like, not saying that this is the case, but it's like you get a 2-yard loss and then they pull you, and it's like, damn, man, I fucked up. And it's like, but that's not the case. They just knew they were going to pull you regardless. And then, but also it's vice versa, right? I just broke a 15-yard runoff. Come on out. They're like, what the fuck? Why am I coming out?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you don't do that for wide receivers, and they're running around a lot more.
Right, right.
The only difference is that every time the running back gets a ball, he's normally, I mean, unless he rips one off and gets a touchdown, he's, you know, 95% of the time, he's getting hit, he's getting taken down.
Right, right. I also think this will be a game that, on the other side of the ball, that, you know, if Thielen is healthy, they're gonna target Thielen like 17 times, and it's gonna be little short routes. What Thielen has made a living on this year, I don't trust any of Carolina's backs. I really don't. I Hubbard is probably the best back at this point in time. I just don't see a lot there in terms of tight end. Don't see a lot there even in terms of special teams. So is this a winnable game? If Fields is in there, absolutely it's a winnable game. The question again will be, can this coaching staff ever make a frickin' adjustment? When things are off script, they adjust?
I think they're very stuck in the mud. They're old school coaches that don't know what they're doing, that don't know what they're talking about. I'd like to address something too. We talked a lot on this program about, you know, Shanahan and Mike McDaniel, and I get Mike McDaniel. They're struggling. They're not very good. I think that that's been proven through the last couple games. But with that being said, I will defend my point, and I would still take him because at least he's still shitting on bad teams. We're not even doing that. We're struggling against bad teams. And then we're shitting on like good teams. Like, the Commanders have kind of turned it around. Like, they've been playing they played the Eagles hard twice. They're up to 4 wins. Granted, not a lot. Sam Howell's playing good for getting the shit kicked out of him. Ron Rivera looks like he's done as the head coach. They're probably going to promote Bieniemy to be their head coach.
Yeah, that's the way I think that's going to. And Sam Howell's throwing, God, a million balls a game, right? I mean,
but it's working.
It's working. Yeah. I mean, he's just chucking it.
I mean, I'm just saying the system's working. So, you know, and to Bieniemy's credit, man, like, there's another guy that I think, yeah, maybe they want to promote, but maybe, you know, you tell Bieniemy, hey, would you like to pick? See, that's another thing. You have to set the tone before someone sets the tone for you. And the tone is, buy Eberflus. And then that way you can tell other people, hey, we're open for a new coach. And by the way, we're going to have a really high couple of picks in the draft. And guess what? We're going to let you help evaluate us and say, who do you need?
Love it.
And hopefully...
Love it.
Here's what I would do in the interview process. I would say, what's your system? What are you looking for? And I'm going to red flag in my head everyone that says, well, I want to run my system, and I think this is the guy to do it. Wrong answer. I'm sorry, but it's the wrong answer. I want to find the best athlete at that position and cater a system around them. I want to cater a system around the quarterback position. I don't want you to come in here and say this is how it has to be.
So the thing, we've said it here before, but it's so true. The thing that makes Andy Reid such a good coach is he listens to his players. He knows the strengths and weaknesses to players. Andy, what does he do? he adjusts to the skill sets of those players. So he, those who are good at a certain task or skill, he does more of that with them, right? I mean, come on, this is not rocket science here. But coaches who do that are successful. The ones that just simply say, it's my way or the highway, Arthur Smith, they're in trouble, Arthur Smith, because they are so rigid and inflexible that they cannot adjust to anything on the fly. And in the NFL, it's a game, it's a chess match, man. You should constantly be making adjustments to what that other team's doing. Do you see that any differently? Because I see you got to have someone like that.
No, yeah, I completely agree with you. And I just, we, like I said, you have to have some, you have to set the tone before someone else does it for you. And that's what I'm worried about. Because, like, what I mean by that is, like, what if we wait and wait and wait, and then Bieniemy gets promoted to, you know, Washington's head coach? I'm not saying get Bieniemy. What I'm saying is be
proactive. Proactive.
Yeah, be proactive.
Yeah.
And say, hey, maybe he's not the guy for us, but, like, if we throw our hat out there saying that we're available, maybe he looks at it like, hey, they're not too far off. Or maybe he sees something about Justin Fields he likes. Maybe he says, I don't want Justin Fields, but I do want so-and-so out of the draft. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, why not put your name in the hat so that you can interview him? At least interview him. Yeah. Don't do this shit where you wait. As soon as that whistle gets blown on the final game, the Bears should have a press conference announcing that, you know, Eberflus is going to separate ways. Or I'm even fine with saying he's going to stay the rest of the season, but he is fired. As of now, he is terminated at the end of the season. Why can't they do that?
Yeah, they could. They could. And it would be great, because what you should have, I think you really implied this, you should have all of your interviews set up right before that season ends. So you know who you're bringing in. You got the first shot at the guys that you really, really want. And God, let's get someone in here who can be an offensive-minded coach. I will lose my mind if they grab another defensive-minded coach. We don't need a defensive-minded coach. We can find a defensive coordinator. There's a ton of good defensive coordinators out there that are more than willing to take the lead and help us. Offense is what we are sorely lacking. I believe the Carolina game is a winnable game for our Bears. And you know what? I have not said that a lot. Now, I thought the Chargers were a winnable game. So, you know, I'll eat crow there. I thought Eckler was still hurt. Turned out he was actually not really hurt going into that game, but I thought he was. But I see us being able to pull this one out, especially if Fields is in there. I really do. And I hope we do. I would love to get, you know, wouldn't that be nice to get picks 1 and 2? That would be great.
Yeah, it'd be really nice. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. Man, I don't know. You know what I mean? I hope that happens. I hope something like that happens. But again, we'll have to wait and see.
Yep.
It's just, I don't even know what to say. Do you have a prediction for the game?
Yeah, I'm thinking Bears 17, Carolina 13.
That's not bad. I like that. Real quick, before we get out of here, not real quick, we got about 10 minutes. I would like to talk about the NFL, because I think we've said enough about the Bears. Like I said, it's really hard to fill time and come up with different stuff. But we both like the NFL, and we both like the NFL.
Yeah, we both we really do.
I slipped up there.
It's all right. It's all right.
let's just talk about the NFL.
Yeah.
Super Bowl picks. As of now, one AFC, one NFC. Who do you got? I know we haven't talked about this, and I'm just laying it on you. Would you like me to go first? What do you think?
Go ahead. Go first.
Right now, I think two things. I think that the Eagles, if Jalen stays healthy, are the for sure. They're too good. They're just too damn good. I thought the Niners could be someone that stopped them. The Niners' defense looks bad. Purdy does not look like he's going to be able to win a Super Bowl. And on the other side, I'm torn. I'm thinking we're either going to get a rematch because the Chiefs are the Chiefs. You know, I know they lost to Denver, but, you know, Patrick Mahomes supposedly had the flu that game.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a sneaky team out there.
Could I say what I think?
Yeah.
I still think it's Cincinnati.
I think it's the Ravens.
Mm. Ah,
I think the Ravens are very sneaky, but I'm glad you brought Cincinnati up because I also think that it's going to come down to that, right? I think whoever, if they play each other, if the seeding goes the way it goes and they end up playing each other, oh man, I think they could either go for the AFC, the both be in the championship game, or whoever wins that could knock off the Chiefs. But man, as far as Buffalo goes, I think Buffalo's lost a step or two, man.
Yeah, I think they have. I mean, my only concern about the Chiefs winning it all right now is not the coach. Andy Reid's great. Not Mahomes. Mahomes is great. My concern for the Chiefs is that wide receiver core is not even close to elite.
Yeah, but doesn't it kind of feel... But hold on. Doesn't it kind of feel Patriot-esque? Like the Patriots? That's how they did it. They still got by.
Yeah. Every year. And their defense is pretty good.
Every year. Yeah. Every year. Like, look to where we're at right now with the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Every year, people keep saying, well, are they that good? I don't think they're as good. They're 7-2, people. They're still 7-2.
That's a really good point.
Favorite to win the AFC.
I guess.
The first seed.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you brought up a really good point. It's just there's something about when Joe Burrow is healthy and he is firing on all cylinders and that Cincinnati defense has not looked bad. I mean, I kind of see them as having a real shot at the AFC.
And I'll be the first to admit it. I came on this podcast and said they remind me of the 06 Bears. They made it to the Super Bowl, and then they're just going to fall flat on their face. I think I was wrong. I'm not willing to totally fold on that take yet. But like I said, at least here we have accountability.
Yeah,
you know, we're not like the talking heads on TV that never admit that they were wrong, or that if they were wrong, they come out with all these buts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cincinnati's good. They're stacked all across the board. The biggest problem remains, and they need to fix it, is that offensive line. My God, give that man time. Do not let people lay a hand on Joe Burrow, and he will scorch. Because Renee Sewell is going to leave.
Yeah.
Like, this is the last year. Yeah. Oh, I had my phone hooked up.
That's really their Achilles heel, and it's been their... And, you know, they said they were going to fix that, 2 years ago? And I think they made some attempts at fixing it. Doesn't appear, from my perspective, to really have done that. Certainly, I think the Eagles, I'm with you. I think the key for the Eagles, can Jalen Hurts stay healthy? Man, did you see that hit on him? And I was glad he returned. The NFL's a whole lot funner with Jalen Hurts out on the field. I think the NFL's a lot funner with Justin Fields on the field. So I'm a big fan of the Eagles. I think they've got all the people in place. Yes, Goddard's went to IR. But you know, Smith is now going to get a lot more targets. He's going to eat. I think those are the front runners.
Any surprise teams, though? Like, we talked about the AFC, and I feel like there's a lot of surprise teams that can come out of there. I still wouldn't rule out the Browns. I think that they could be a sneaky team in there. I think the Browns could get in, and it could be Ravens, Bengals, and Browns all out of the same division. But as far as the NFC goes,
NFC's tough. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is the 49ers because, I mean...
But what's one, the first... Now, there's one team when I think sneaky comes to mind.
Oh, sneaky? You're not going to like to hear this right now.
I think we're on the same page.
Dallas.
I was going Detroit.
Ah, okay.
I was going Detroit.
I think
I am not banking on Dak.
I tell you what, and the only reason I say that is if you look at Dallas's remaining schedule, it is really, really nice to set you up to be a division winner and be in the playoffs. Now,
can they
do a whole lot after that? I'm not sure, but you know that's, I don't like the Cowboys.
No, I know, but can I just mention this?
Yes.
I don't mind saying this because they're not the Packers. I am rooting for Detroit to get a playoff win. It's been long overdue for the city of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
They deserve it. I think it needs to happen. If for some miracle they went to the Super Bowl, I would root them on.
I would too. I absolutely would.
I just, you know.
And that's, you know what? As Bears fans, that's that at one time that would have been hard to say. But you know what?
But they haven't dominated. Yeah, right? They haven't dominated. Yeah. They haven't been there. Like the Vikings, I would root for the Vikings to lose. Just because the Vikings have already won. They, you know, they've gone to playoffs. The last time they won, Detroit Lions was what, 91, the last playoff victory?
See, I guess I didn't really see Detroit as sneaky. I think Detroit is right up there as a powerhouse. I kind of see them more
right,
as a powerhouse.
But do you? Because, like, the top two are Niners, Eagles. That's why I say sneaky.
Yeah, I guess so. But I don't know if people are giving that team credit. Detroit would make them sneaky. Detroit already beat Kansas, the Chiefs, right? That was the first game of the year.
Well, they got pretty lucky, but win's a win.
Well, okay, yeah, and I guess some people would bring up, right, was Kelce playing in that game against Detroit? I don't think,
yeah.
Was he? Okay, all right.
Sorry, by the way, last playoff win, I keep saying 91, it was 1992.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was in the 91 season.
Right.
That's why I was getting confused. Yep. They went 12-4 in the 1991 regular season. Mm-hmm. So technically it was 91.
Yeah. Yeah. Technically.
Technically it was 92, but it was in the 91 season, so you would say 91. Just like the 85 Bears.
Yeah.
They won in 86, but
everybody
it's
calls
85 because it's the season starts.
I get you. So yeah, What a Super Bowl would a Detroit Cincinnati Super Bowl be attractive to people? That's a Midwest Super Bowl.
I would love it. I really would to see that new teams. I don't think you're going to see it. I don't see it. The only way the Eagles fuck this up is with injuries. And that I guess that's not really them fucking it up. That's just bad luck.
Right.
Who's
Hurts backup in terms of a backup quarterback? I can't think of who it is right now. I don't think
I'll have to look. I don't know it either.
But I mean, you could say that for anyone, right? If Lamar goes out, if Joe Burrow goes out, if Mahomes goes out, you know,
it's Marcus Mariota.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I guess it's true of anyone. If any of those top guys go out, you know, they're pretty much the, you know, your chances go down significantly. But if they could stay healthy, I would kind of like to see Detroit Cincinnati. I'm not saying that's definitely going to happen, but
I mean, like it. If you look at the standings, right now it's Philly,
Detroit, San Fran, Seattle, Dallas, New Orleans, Minnesota. So like, when you hear those teams, but, like, look at the AFC, and we did leave a team out that's up there in Jacksonville.
Okay.
Jacksonville.
All right.
We left them out. Jacksonville is third. It goes Kansas City, Baltimore, Jacksonville, Miami, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Cincinnati, and Buffalo are all tied at five wins.
So let me ask
Hold on. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
All tied at five wins. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Buffalo.
Wow.
So, I mean, when you look at that, the only problem with Miami is they keep losing against teams with winning records.
Yeah, I mean, that's why some people are saying, you know, that Miami's are frauds, they're pretenders, they're not contenders because of that. I don't know if I necessarily buy that script. I think, you know, if you look at that last game with Miami and the Chiefs over in Germany, you know, if Tua doesn't fumble and he throws the TD, it's a tied game.
If anyone is a gambling fan,
mm-hmm.
take whatever it is, because I'm sure the line will equal out. Miami is going to beat Buffalo. They're going to beat them in Miami because that sun is too brutal. They play at 1 o'clock.
Ooh.
Unless they get flexed. If it gets flexed to a night game, be weary. The reason I say that is there is a 30 to 35 degree temperature difference on sidelines.
Yeah, because Dawkins,
the tackle, talked about it in an interview with Part of My Take and said, he's like, it was the most brutal. He's like, we were dying. We gave it all we had. He goes, they just had so much more because they were so much cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the way the sun hits that other team.
Yeah. I mean, it's just. The home bench is in the shade the entire time.
Right, right.
And then they're just getting the sun. Whoever designed that stadium, genius.
Yeah.
Take note, Chicago. I know Chicago doesn't get that warm at like Miami. But also, Chicago, when we rebuild a new stadium, don't be like Jerry Jones and have it so that the end zones are facing east and west so that the sun just blinds you when you're going down. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So you spend that much money and you can't figure out where the sun's going to hit at what time of the day?
That's ridiculous.
Jerry.
So, yeah. So maybe the Bears can build a stadium to get the fog just to stay on one side.
That'd be nice. Yeah. That'd be great. Well, we think the Bears are going to win. Hopefully they do. We will be back on Friday. I'm going to get out of here, and we're going to upload this. Daylight savings time, by the way, sucks. It just gets dark so soon.
Yeah, it's like the appendix and the Kardashians. And daylight savings time, they all have something in common. They do nothing and have no service, no meaning in life.
All right. With all that right. being said, remember, it's always a good time when you
bear down.